Internet, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm probably not going to post this till next week anyway, but it's actually not even really worth saying because I'm really not going to post it till like Thursday. Maybe I'll post it tonight just because if you're not doing anything tomorrow, I'm going to do a big security talk down at the Brandt Business Resource Center.
So if you want to get bored to shit, make sure you buy tickets to that.
Yeah. You can come and win your free copy of Simon Sinek Start With Why.
Simon Sinek starts with S in both counts.
Oh, I'm going to use that joke tomorrow.
Do it.
I'm for sure actually going to use that joke.
I get a medium coffee for every laugh and a small coffee for every chortle that it receives.
You know what the problem is? I have no idea what type of people I'm talking to. It's 13 people. And
that's very unlucky.
They're all, oh, why did you even say? I didn't even think about that before.
But you're there, though, so that makes it 14.
And I have that joke. So
yes, you're good.
For basically, 2 hours, I have
verbal
to be like,
body armor right there.
We're down on Colburn Street. You know what it is? TheDevilsBench.com/TheBenchCast or some shit like that if you want to get hold of us. My name is Tango November. I've decided. I'm changing my online name. It's Tango November. That's what I'm staying with. I was going to go Easy Red, but I'm staying Tango November. Who are you?
I am what I eat. So therefore, I am half of a pizza right now. I'm very tired. It's not even kid related. I thought my dog was going to die, and she's not. I'm just a bit of a drama queen. So
no, man,
we ate a celebratory pizza tonight.
It's for real, man. And that's like, we've had a couple of those scares with Trigger.
It's the worst, man. It's just like baby born day one. Grandma passes away 8 days later. 3 days after that, dog looks like she's dying. Take her to the vet. The vet's like, I'm like, that's not an appropriate response, son. Like, I cleared all the nasal passages out so as not to offend your gentle little eardrums, internet, but I literally worried myself sick about my stupid ass dog. Holy cow. And then we took her in today and everything's fine. She's got like a pulled neck muscle or something from being a dog and doing dumb things.
You know what else I meant to tell you?
That I'm extremely handsome.
All right. Yeah, actually, right after I was going to tell you that, I was going to tell you this. Our dog, when our son was first born, he got all like mopey.
Well, that's what I thought of too, because when like, you know, you basically like dog WebMD all the symptoms she was having and everything like that. Because she's been like this probably around like October of last year, just like very similar symptoms, like really lethargic and not eating. She was like terribly constipated, which I mean, I felt bad for her, but at the same time, it's really funny to see a dog at like bomb doors open stage, like walking around like a question mark around the backyard, just doing laps. Nothing's coming out though. She has such a cute little face, and then when she's not feeling well and she looks at you, like she takes a part of you away from you when she looks at you so sad like that.
Yeah.
All the ladies at is it Brandt Veterinary Dog Clinic?
Brandt Vet Clinic.
Brandt Vet Clinic on King George. Yeah.
Yeah. They're the shit.
They're awesome. So like all four of the ladies in there, everyone comes out because like she's such a cute little dog. And they all like to see her when she comes in. So all of them are just sitting there, and they just look brokenhearted. And there's my dumb dog with her head down, just looking up through her skull, like all sad. And oh, my God. I couldn't even sleep last night because I had to keep checking to make sure she was breathing. Yeah. I know it's pathetic, but it's real.
It's not at all, man.
It's totally real. I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God, I can't because they can't tell you what's wrong, right?
It's not pathetic in the least bit. Dogs are a part of your family.
Oh, man.
You know, and that's the whole thing, too. Like, I remember when Trigger, he had a problem with one of his teeth.
Yeah.
And he stopped eating, and he was just, like, all this weird stuff was going on. And I remember them telling us, like, oh, he's probably in a lot of pain, but dogs don't show it. Dogs just deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh.
Well, and that's the thing, too, like, this dog will flip up on the couch on you and jump on your chest and like lick your face and everything like that. And she couldn't even go up the steps by herself. Like she kept turning around in circles, like to try and get momentum, but it was never enough momentum. And I had to like pick her up
step.
And it's just like, it's so like pathetic, right? But it was just like, oh my God, like something's wrong with her. And then she'd go to get up Yeah. She just didn't have the energy to get up. And I was just, of course, like thinking the worst, right?
Yeah.
So I was like totally just had made my peace that when we brought her into the vet today, like that they were going to say awful things. And even Dr. Sagan was looking and just like, oh, she hasn't, she gave me some medicine on Monday. And she's like, oh yeah, she's not looking better. And then I'm just like, don't say that. Tell me she looks great.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, she does all the checks and you can see her kind of like pensive, right? Like she's trying to find, like, just give me something, right? And then she did this really neat trick with a treat. So Penny sits down and then so she gives her like these treats that she loves.
Yeah.
And then lifts
it, like dehydrated liver.
Yeah.
Things?
Oh,
my
yeah.
Dog goes mental for those things.
So you lift it up over her head and she's just like ready for it, right?
Yeah.
She goes up to get it and then she puts it down and then Penny goes down and gets it. And then she puts it like almost to her back hip on her right side and like the dogs can curl around and she gets it.
Yeah.
And then she goes and brings it to her left side and Penny has no interest in it. And then she looks at me and she basically does that exact same face. She's just like, oh, okay, interesting. And then she tests it in a couple different positions. And every time she tried to get her to take the treat on the left-hand side, she wouldn't turn.
Oh.
And then so she like checked her spine and everything like that. And when she got up near her shoulders, again, like she doesn't yelp or whine or wince or anything like that. But she just like, you can see her muscles jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went and checked her out. And they're like, she's like, I think it's this, that, the other thing. We don't need any imaging or anything. I'm like, do it anyway, just to be sure, because I need to know. And then she's all good. She's still sad and pathetic, but she gave us some medicine, and hopefully I'll fix her up.
They're the shit. They're the best vet clinic in the city, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I mean, part of the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because, like, it was just, I honestly didn't even sleep last night because, like, she was sleeping up on me, and she was so sucky, and, I mean, her little snout's right up against my chin. I can feel her breathing, and then, you know, when you're the dog's sleeping, sometimes she breathes real heavy and sometimes she like almost doesn't breathe because she's sleeping, right? Everything slows down. And I kept freaking out and I couldn't sleep because I kept subconsciously trying to see if she was breathing. I've been up all night worrying about this fucking dog.
Yeah.
And when we go there, they were absolutely amazing. She did everything. Like, and I don't know anything about medical anything. Human, and I am a human, let alone on a dog, right? Explained everything perfect, and especially after like bitching about like poor customer service and everything like that last episode, I just really wanted to like, they do good work there, you know.
Yeah, and they have that it's called Haven's Hope. They have a cat rescue program going out of there. I have a relatively strong connection to that office. My mom used to work there, and so I'm in there quite a bit, and they have like gangs of cats in there. They're all just like squirreled away.
Yeah.
But like it's a cat rescue program. Anyways. No, that's good, man. I'm super glad because that's scary.
Yeah, it's just weird, right? Like it's such a it's just such a funny thing because like I have all these fish and everything like that. When my fish die, it's just like, nah, it's almost like a pain in the ass and you gotta go flush the thing, right? And then it's like my dog just was like slightly ill. And immediately your mind goes like right to the worst, right?
Oh,
and then,
for sure.
Like I literally worried myself sick. Like I woke up this morning after like intermittent 15-minute naps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just feeling like a bag of shit. And it's all just from worrying about the stupid little pooch,
the
right?
Stupid dog, yeah.
But she's good. Well, I can say that now because she's okay. But
Yeah.
So if I'm not funny, or if I am funny, depending on what your average opinion of me is, that's why.
Well, let's start with a little touching of the base.
Yes, touch my base.
As far as gaming goes, and then you've got some gaming questions queued up, right?
Let's do it.
All right, so I have been playing games that I can drop into and drop out of. I was infatuated with The Division.
Yep.
And the same problem with The Division that I had with Fallout and Skyrim and the rest of them, I don't have the time to invest in a story. So if I can't just drop in and shoot Nazis,
yep.
It's like I need to be, that's Counter-Strike, Day of Defeat, Insurgency. They're perfect for me. I just drop in, play two rounds, and it's inconsequential. I had fun.
You know what?
And then I'm out.
Games like that, I now find boring because I don't get enough out of them.
Interesting.
Except for Rocket League.
Oh, yeah.
Because... I mean, if we just jumped in and played Counter-Strike for 25 minutes,
yeah.
I'd feel like I wasted 25 minutes. But if we played 25 minutes of Rocket League, I'd love all 25 minutes of it.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, that's the only game where I can do the real honest drop-in and not feel like it was too, like, surface level. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And I get the same thing, too, where, yeah, I almost don't want to get into games that are too deep a story just because it's like... It's like the same reason why I like watching TV shows more than I like watching movies. It's less of a commitment, you know what I mean? Because you get your entertainment in 22-minute bursts, and you can watch them for as long as you want. But with a movie, it's one and done in 2 hours, but it's two consecutive hours.
You know what? That's probably why I watch so many stand-up specials.
Yeah.
Because I can just drop in. I can drop in 45 minutes into that special.
Yeah.
And I might not get the tie-back joke that everybody loses their mind about because he said it earlier.
Yeah.
But... I get, like, you know, 18 minutes of funny, and then I go to bed.
My wife watches, like, Suits and Scandal and things like that, and I watch them. I'm like, these are good shows, man.
I've heard that about Suits.
Oh, Suits is a good show. Scandal's a great show. And I say that, and, I mean, there may be things about it that make them, like, kind of contrived or repetitive, but I say that because I only see maybe 3 or 4 episodes per season
yeah.
when I drop in when my wife's watching them. Because yeah, they're like, these are hour long Netflix episodes and there's like 12 episodes per season.
Yeah.
And there's 4 seasons available on Netflix. And meanwhile, I just signed up for Crave TV cause I wanted to watch season 19 of South Park.
Yeah.
And then I found a million things on Crave TV that I want to watch way better than Netflix, way better than Netflix, hands down better.
Really?
For me and what I like.
Yeah, cuz they don't get the Netflix originals, right?
Right. I don't think Suits and Scandals isn't on there.
Yeah.
Suits and Scandal are not on there, but like Seinfeld's on there. I'm watching Tosh.0 from the beginning even though I've seen the first 3 seasons of Tosh.0,
yeah.
but there's like 4 through 8 are on there, but I'm watching it from the start. So last night I watched through the entire first season of Tosh.0 that I know almost verbatim cuz I've watched it so much cuz that's how I like to watch TV. But Crave TV has a million things that I have queued up to watch.
Yeah.
Whereas when I go on Netflix, it's either Bill Burr or Cooked, or I skim through something until I go back to Bill Burr. Or
yeah.
Just watch the same 2 things.
Speaking of which, next week, Dave Chappelle special.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm interested.
I can't wait.
You know, it's funny. Actually, Chappelle's show is on. I put that on my list of like things to watch on Crave TV. And I don't know. We just finished watching the entire series of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
And it's so funny to see like these, there's not a lot of cultural references, but it's kind of funny to see what they're wearing because they have like that 90s aesthetic.
Oh yeah.
And then like, there's not a lot of it, like, cause there's not a lot of real current things except for like some cameos and stuff like
yeah.
that. But, it's just like, wow, that's real funny how it's like, it still holds up, but at the same time, it is still kind of dated. I feel like you could watch Chappelle's show, even though I've seen every episode like a million times, and it still holds up. I wonder if Chappelle's show would be good if he did it again.
I don't know. Maybe, okay, so if he did it again, I doubt it. But if he did it now without having done it before, because the problem is it's going to fall out for you.
And that's how I feel about his stand-up special.
Oh, no way.
Sight unseen. I haven't seen the, you said there was a really good trailer.
That's
I haven't seen the trailer.
That's heavy.
But that's the thing where it's like,
because I've seen that, like, For What It's Worth special hundreds of times.
Yeah,
hundreds of times.
Well, because the thing is, to expect someone, because it's been, what, 10 years between specials anyway?
Anyway.
So,
and he's, like, buff as shit now.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, he's huge.
Yeah.
Yoked.
And, which is funny, because he was always, like, that real lanky, skinny
guy, yeah, and that was, like, part of the funny, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of physical humor.
So, it'd be interesting, like, you would expect someone who's gone through more than a decade of their life, especially like the way he ended everything and then now is making a resurgence. You'd expect them to be different, but it's kind of like we talk about with video games, with sequels and stuff like that. You expect it to be more of the same because that's why you liked the other one so much.
Yeah.
But if it's too much of the same, you're like, oh, it's just the same fucking game again.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see. But at the same time, I'm kind of pensive about it because it's like, uh-oh, what if we get Fallout forward, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never thought of it like that.
I was kind of like
breaking
that
my worldview down tonight.
Yeah. I was kind of like that with Bill Burr's new special. Like, it was funny because I listened to his podcast so much, which is just like basically him doing sit-down stand-up, right?
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. Like, I don't know. I don't think I found it as funny as the other ones because I've become more acclimated. Like I've said before, okay, like the type of humor, I appreciate funny stuff, but the type of humor that makes me actually LOL is when I don't see it coming. And
yeah,
I have a familiarity with Bill Burr now because I've watched all his specials. I've watched F is for Family. I've listened to his podcast over and over. So I can kind of see how his mind works, how his joke-telling style works.
Yeah.
And when it's like one of those ones, like you, when I tell you jokes and stuff like that, sometimes I get like a, oh, that was funny. But when I make you laugh, you always say, you got me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's because it has to be something either so ridiculous you didn't see it coming.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know, and that's the stuff that makes me laugh. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that, but I'm interested to see how it makes me feel.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to do a whole thing in my house to, like,
what are you going
to
eat?
A charcuterie board. What is it?
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie?
Yeah.
How do you say chartreuse? What is it?
I don't remember. I'm only legally allowed to say that word 3 times a day. And I just
Chartuterie? I don't know. One of the big
I'm
going to
let you keep saying chartuterie.
Charcuterie, right?
I think so. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Yeah, big old board full of meat and cheese, bro.
We call that the non-poo-poo platter.
That's right. So what are you playing? And what are your questions?
I just whipped these out just so we could talk about video games so we don't have to talk about heavy shit today. But I started off the episode with that. So what are, first, what I've been playing? You know, I've been playing...
I'm playing Dad Simulator 2017.
Yeah, exactly. I started getting into some weird... games, because I've been playing almost exclusively on my laptop, much to my aquarium in the basement's demise, but I've been just upstairs in front of the TV, baby's there, dog's there, wife's there, and just hanging out in the living room playing laptop games, right?
Yep.
So, like games like Rocket League are out, because, I mean, you could play them on a laptop, but I can't play them on a laptop.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
So, I've been playing a lot of Kerbal Space Program.
Okay.
That fucking game is hard, man.
That's a good couch game, for sure.
And... The thing about it is that I'll play for 2 hours trying to trial and error my way up into space, and then you get up into space, and then you crash. And so you go and you tinker, and then you crash a little lighter. So then you tinker, and then you almost land it, and you're like, okay, I know exactly what to do. And you go and you make that adjustment. You launch it. You got to go through the whole launch, the flight, and then the return. And then you crash even worse than you did the first time.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, what did I do wrong? So you play a game for 3 hours and you've accomplished nothing.
But yeah. That sounds a lot like science.
Oh, I really like it. And I've been trying not to do the YouTube thing and like figure it out. I've been trying to just honestly figure it out for myself.
Yeah, cool.
And I've been playing a lot of that. And then I'm kind of starting to burn out on Warcraft a little bit. Just because, it is getting a little bit repetitive, but I've been playing that pretty much quite a bit. And then RimWorld, just can't get enough of RimWorld, man.
Solid game.
Can't speak highly enough of that game.
What are your questions, bruh?
All right, so on that vein, so...
Bruh.
What have you been playing recently? You said you have been playing a lot of The Division and stuff like that.
Yeah, Division, and I just... You know what? The only game that's gonna capture me coming up, I can almost bet money on it, is the new South Park.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the absolute shit out of that. So disappointing. First, it was supposed to be first quarter 2017. Now it's before 2018.
Oh, good.
But I'm also totally cool with them doing that because I'd rather them release a done game.
Yeah, don't release it and patch it.
Yeah, like if it's broken or something, don't put it out. And I don't think they would.
Yeah, I feel like those guys have a certain level of integrity when it comes to like the stuff they stand behind.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, it's not Matt and Trey releasing a game. There's probably a lot more wheels involved with it.
True.
Just that. So one of my questions was, you know, when you have people on your friends list that always seem to be either playing the exact same game over and over again or always playing some weird game where you almost like you go to the store and look it up because you're like, what the fuck is that game?
Uh-huh.
What are some games that you see some of your people on your friends list playing that you're like, what the hell is that?
It's usually Curly.
Yeah, he has a couple recently that's like, I don't know the title of that.
Yeah, because
that's not Binding of Isaac.
He's got a unique situation, right? He plays laptop games, but he has to be able to play a game that he can step away from.
Yeah.
And play a game that is captivating enough to want to play tomorrow.
That's fair.
You know?
I can't remember any of the titles because he's had 2 or 3 recently.
And they're all weird...
Curly games.
Yeah, definitely weird Curly games. What games have I seen people playing? Okay. Gamblar, Ryan Gamble, is playing... It's an Arma 3 mod that is a cross between the Hunger Games... Okay, so you remember the Hunger Games mode we used to play in Arma 3?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that with DayZ game assets.
Okay.
So instead of it being like normal Arma 3 world, it's end of the world zombie apocalypse.
Is it broken?
It's Arma 3. It's broken as fuck, yeah.
That's a thing too, because I think I've seen, like, you know how it gives you updates and stuff like that on,
yep.
You know, like basically on the community page or basically the landing page and you click the name. And... I thought it said something like, "Arma, check out our new blah, blah, blah." Like, it's like the people who made Arma 3, and they're like basically saying that there's a game that they're working on or something like that. And it's kind of like, you're not done with Arma 3 yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the problem, is that Arma 3, even in its current state, is such a good game. But it's 40% of the way baked, man. Like, it is not complete. It's jank as fuck.
It's pretty jank.
But it's so good that you play through the jank.
Yeah.
So my question is, because I know nothing about making a game, but if you can create a game that's that good up to that point of polish and completion, how much more time and effort would it take to make the game move from its current state to at least an 80%? We're smooth it out a little bit. Don't need new textures.
Right.
I just need to get into the vehicle instead of get into the vehicle. Where
right.
It's like I've, instead of entering the Humvee and sitting down because we need to get out of Camp Red 4, I have now somehow fused my torso to the window
yeah.
And I can't get out of it until I die.
I don't know, man. Like I bought maybe about 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks ago, I bought Days of War. That was right after I bought Day of Infamy, which are both supposed to be spiritual successors to Day of Defeat.
Are those like Age of Empire clones?
Believe it or not,
are they chess games?
They're all World War II shooters.
Oh, gee, I never would have guessed.
Okay, so...
I'm Bill Dungy. I play World War II simulators, and if it doesn't have the word day in the title, go fuck yourself.
Pretty much. Days of War was touted, like this is what I think GameSpot or something,
mm-hmm.
actually said that this game is going to be the spiritual successor to Day of Defeat. And I'm like...
That's big.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's a claim, man.
Yeah.
Okay, for example, Day of Defeat Source, believe it or not, there's hundreds of people playing that game still. And I play it probably twice a week or so. I can't get enough of it because it's drop-in, you get to shoot Nazis, it's
yeah.
good fun. And it's all aiming from the hip. There's none of this bullshit with ADS and aiming and iron sights and leaning and all that shit. So they're going to put that out, and they tout it to be this big thing that's going to follow Day of Defeat. I get in-game. You can lean left and right. There's iron sights. You've already broken the Day of Defeat model. So a whole shit ton of people buy it because, first of all, Day of Infamy is based on the Source engine, and it looks like shit. Days of War is based on the Unreal Tournament 4 engine,
yep.
and it looks flat out amazing. Looks amazing. But the game plays like shit.
Yeah, see, that's...
It just plays like if you and I, knowing nothing about game development,
yeah.
sat down right now and we were like, let's make a generic shooter. That's what it is, with a World War II skin on it.
So
then you
yeah.
compare that against Arma, and it's like I'd play Arma all day with the jank, because I can shoot enemies at a click and a half away.
See, when we played that one sit rep where it was all Arma, like
yeah.
we got there at noon until midnight, we played an Arma mission after another, all on the same map. And I think this was a mod, like a community-created map or something
yeah, it was.
Like that. And basically, you start on the southeastern corner of the island. And you accomplish objective one, and then you move to the staging area past objective one, and there's objective two. And then you go objective three, objective four. I think we did maybe 7 objectives in almost
yeah.
12 hours. Now, with breaks for food and ordering pizza and pee breaks and stuff like that. You know, many hours of in-depth, like, you were working, you know,
oh, yeah.
gameplay. And we did maybe 6-7 objectives, and we probably cleared... 10% of the map?
Yeah, if that.
And all of us are managing multiple squads. Like, all of us. there's seven of us playing, like managing squadrons.
Yeah.
And it's so good, but also so broken. If the game wasn't so good and the strategy so good and the tactics so good,
yeah,
you wouldn't crack an hour of gameplay on there because it can be so janky. So then you get those other games where and like Arma's not it's fairly I don't want to say it's fairly realistic because the graph like you know what I mean when I say realistic?
It's
in a look
mechanically yeah. It's realistic, but aesthetically, it's kind of blocky.
Yeah, and then you go and you have a beautiful game that doesn't work at all, and it's just it doesn't suck you in.
No,
and it's like if Arma doesn't even have to look beautiful; it just has to, and it doesn't even have to improve. I'll still play the shit out of it. It's just funny to see because we were just talking about that's the way games kind of work. Where yeah, we're done because we made all the money we're gonna make off of it. Why make it any better? And it's just like, you know, I wish they had a little bit more pride with it. Because I would love to play a completed Arma 3. I'd love to.
And it kind of bugs the shit out of me, too. Like, okay, so Days of War, it's two guys. Their whole development team is two individuals. So they released the game, and it has a... I don't know if you remember DoD Donner. There's a map on Dave Defeat called DoD Donner. You know what's crazy, too? The maps like Counter-Strike Dust 2, I could probably draw it.
Right.
Like,
see, just, I can't do that at all.
Oh, man. I just played so much of that junk in high school. Anyways, it came out with a one-to-one copy of Donner. Source kicked them off of Valve. Valve kicked them off of Steam, rather, and said, that's RIP. You can't touch that and do that and sell it. And so they got back on, and there was this whole big thing about we're going to put out a new map. The new map comes out. It's all good and well. But the game is still very alpha. Like, when you throw a grenade... There's like a circa 2001 sprite of the actual explosion. Oh. And the sound kind of goes like, gush, gush. So it's just a placeholder. But here's what bugs the shit out of me. It cost me $32
yeah.
to alpha test this game. And then they have the audacity to ask me for feedback?
Yeah.
Gone are the days where... It was like a...
You'd sign up for a closed beta.
It was like a rite of passage as a gamer yeah. to be included in the beta.
Yeah.
Then you got like the special forum little swatch or badge on yep. your account. And you were like, yeah, son, I was one of the beta testers. I've been here since 1.6.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Well, I don't know.
That's how it should be. Yeah. Get 100 people in the beta. Let them play it. Let them try to break it.
Yeah.
Point out all the things. And well, that's what... See, and now that's the problem with alpha and beta, because when I first started coming up, and I was never real in deep on anything like that, but my buddy Phil would always be, oh, I'm playing the beta of this new MMO or something like that, and I'm like, oh, whoop-de-fucking-doo, I've never heard of that. And then a year later, this game would come out, and everybody would be talking about it, and I'd be like, oh, my buddy Phil was on the beta, he beta tested that.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, with like Steam Early Access and everything like that, everything's fucking alpha. Everything's an open world crafting survival game.
And like perpetually alpha.
One of my favorite games in my Steam, my 1,000 game deep Steam library is 7 Days to Die.
Yeah.
That game is now on alpha 16. I bought that game on Boxing Day, not last Christmas, and I don't even think it was the Christmas before. I think it was the one before that. And it was in alpha then when I bought it. It is, to a point, still the same game, but it has really, really been overhauled and changed. Up to the point where even when I stopped playing it as religiously as I used to, because it like your save game would die
yeah.
when they release like a new like top level number, you know, when it goes from 14 to 15, all 14 save games are gone. But 14.6 to 14.7 was no problem. So, mechanically, it's essentially the same game. And then they're like, yeah, we've got new models and we've got new sounds and stuff like that. Okay, great. But if you're working on polish like that, then is it still alpha? Because the problem is, and
yeah.
when I bought the game, I don't even think it was on sale. I think I bought it for like $11. And now it's like a $40 game. I think that $40 games and the word alpha should be mutually exclusive. But that's the problem. You have games coming out with 80% finished price tags and 8% finished offerings. Like,
yeah.
if the game's broken, like DayZ came out and it was how much money? and the Arma 2 mod.
I bought a day of, too. I bought a day of.
The Arma 2 mod worked better than the standalone.
Oh, yeah.
How does that even... The Arma 2 mod was made by just some fan. And yeah. then these people, like a production company, puts their stamp on it, releases it as a standalone, charges full ticket price for it, and the zombies run through the fucking walls.
Yeah, yeah.
For and not even just on launch day, 4 months. Dude, I can't get away from the zombie. He's been chasing me for 3 miles. Like, I've been running away from this zombie for 4 game hours, basically. Like, yeah. For 4 real-world hours. Oh, just go up a flight of stairs and then you lose aggro. That's dumb as fuck.
That's stupid.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, this game wasn't even launched like months ago. It was launched like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's they give up because they're never going to make more money after the fix than they've already made. So why bother?
That could be our million-dollar idea, you know, if we can fix that problem.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because now you've got, you know, it started affecting me when I was a kid, and I'd buy the latest NHL. And yeah. then it's like, so you get up, you go to EB Games, you buy NHL 12, and you get it home, and you're taking the bus because you're a kid and you can't drive, and your parents don't want to drive you to buy a video game. So you take the bus, and you get the bus home, and you're like, oh, yeah, and you pop it in, and you play, and it's like... installing updates, and then there's like a 45-minute download on launch day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what, man? Like, I'm willing to give some leeway to a big launch like that when you have to create and print and press and sell the physical CD.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want, because you want to meet launch day, because it's the same thing, like Stick of Truth 2 or whatever it is got pushed. Well, they don't want to push. So... they'll make the game as much as they can, and then they'll tinker, because even in NHL games, like, you know, if 3-star players get traded over the summer and you know, your rosters are set from when the season ended, you need to do those roster updates. But now it's just like companies are like, oh, fuck it. We'll just send it out, and then we'll just slap alpha on it.
Yeah.
And it's just, no, if your game isn't playable, then you shouldn't be charging... I don't want to say you shouldn't be charging money for it, but you shouldn't finished money for it.
You shouldn't be charging money for it. If it's not done, what am I buying?
Well,
I'm buying the chance to test this for you.
Well, and how many... And again, that's fine. Like, what's a game that you paid over $50 for that was worth it for you? XCOM 2. Let's say XCOM 2.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
So XCOM 2 is coming out.
Recently?
And they're like, yeah, we wanted to test... The game is out. But we wanted to test adding multiplayer in for the next patch, and we want to add multiplayer mechanics, so we'd like some people to beta test this. And yeah, you get some people in there, 100 people close beta, or 1,000 people, or whatever your metric is.
Yeah.
They do everything, and they make it as close to finish as possible. Then you do an open beta just to drum up everything. Okay, here you go. Anyone who signs up for this will get 60 days of free playtime, and then at launch we'll get a discount for their efforts on the actual price when it goes live.
Yeah.
Because you should still get money for selling your game. That's fine. But if your game's not done, you shouldn't be selling your game. It's not done yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just find it silly. And that's why I don't get hyped up for many games anymore. Since I signed up for the Humble Bundle monthly, I haven't purchased a game. And that's been 4 months now. I've gone without buying a single game. Which is pretty good for me.
There's nothing on my radar either, you know? Like, there's a couple, it might be Concordia, Fallout something or other. There's 2 mods that I'm tracking right now that are total conversion mods for Fallout 4 that they both say that they fix all the problems and that it's a brand new story. It's like that, Christ, the name escapes me, but that one for Skyrim, I don't know if I ever told you about it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a total conversion.
Yeah.
Actually sent in an application to write for one of them and do voice acting for one, because I was like, if I could get my voice in a Fallout game of any variety, that's pretty much like my win scenario. It's just, that's my game over right there. What's another one of your questions there?
Sure. Okay, here's one. What's a game you feel like you should like more than you actually do? Because I can think of one for myself.
Oh, good question.
So I'll give you mine while you think about it.
Yeah.
Mine is the Sniper Elite series.
Oh, good one. For sure, right? That should be awesome.
Because we've played that. We spent a couple nights back when we did like legit Friday night game night before the store opened. And it would be like me, you, Jeff, and Curly. Like when we didn't have the full crew on.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, what can us four idiots play together? And it was like, let's get, you know, sniper, blah, blah, blah. And I love sniper games. Anytime we play like World War II games or shooting games or anything like that, I'm either the spray and pray idiot with the MP5 or I'm the sniper. Usually because I suck so bad at first-person shooters is that I need to be the sniper so I can stay away.
Yeah.
But it's a really good sniping game. It's a really good game. And I have no desire to play it. And every time the four of us get together and we play it, I'm like, this is a really good game. But you can't pay me to touch it. I don't know why. I haven't beat it. But anytime we play it, I have a great time playing it. I feel like I should love that game a lot more than I do. And that's like one of those things where it's like, it's not you, it's me. I should love that game way more than I do.
I will say very generally, fighting games.
Yeah, I hate fighting games. They're too repetitive for me.
Like, I get a lot of enjoyment out of it. UFC games, Mortal Kombat, it's the same kind of thing, right? So, like, UFC games are the worst, too, because I really want to immerse myself in, like, almost like the technicality of the fight.
Yeah.
Instead of Mortal Kombat, it's high punch, low kick. It's like, okay, I'm in guard.
Yeah.
I can actually break guard and work out to side or something like that. I can do something. I can pass. But it all just boils down to button mashing. And it's like, as technical
like
as I want to be,
yeah.
If I hear you doing the and you're just fucking smashing a controller,
yeah.
I don't even want to play anymore.
And you know what the thing that killed the UFC games for me is that unlike games where like the boss's hit point scale or the strategy gets more complicated or the game moves quicker, all the different ways that different games, platformers, RPGs, anything like that create increasing scaling difficulty. I think that rather than the game getting harder and you needing to get better, as MMA games, like as you go up against John Jones instead of like Steve Thompson or something like that when you're fighting the jobbers at the beginning, is just shit that's supposed to work stops working. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm a magic caster and I do 400 DPS or something like that, but now I'm fighting a level 92 boss, so he has 2 million hit points and I need to stay alive, or you're in the Battletoads, like hypercar or hyperjet, whatever, I can't think of the word, like that level that everybody hates because the thing moves quicker.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, oh, all that shit that works on a guy who's 79 overall when you're, you know, fighting for number one contender and you can win in 10 minutes, great. Now you're fighting John Jones and just nothing works anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, that's not even one of the, what do you call that in D&D where it's like the disempowerment fantasy or something like that? It's not even that. It's just like the game, these things don't work on this guy anymore. And it's just, that's not fun for me.
That might be relative. I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be like,
because my brother was big into the UFC games, and this was back when I was big into UFC, like watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you get to create a character and work your way up the thing and da-da-da-da. And it was just like, you'd have two options of people to fight or three options of people to fight. And it would just be another dime a dozen fight where you win it without even trying, or a 5-minute loss.
Now, here's a weird dichotomy for you.
Okay.
I really enjoy pro wrestling games.
I do, too. I remember...
I don't really classify them as fighting games. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I always liked my favorite part was creating the characters.
Oh, of course. And you get to, like, coordinate all their, like
their entrance
fireworks and all that shit, and they come out.
I remember there was one that had a... It was, like, one of the first wrestling games to have a real, quote-unquote, deep... career mode.
Yeah.
And then you realize that it was like, it was always the same stuff. It was kind of like I can't remember what the name of the program was, but it was like back when I was a kid and we'd make I had it for a second. I lost it. And basically you could make very basic programs where you clicked a button and it's like, if X is clicked, do Y type thing. We did this back in public school.
Okay. Yeah.
And, It reminds me of that because all of a sudden you'd be in like year four and it's like, I'm going for the title against Steven Tyler, and then it was like everything's fresh and it's like a new story arc, and then like the announcer guy saying new words and you're like, this is fucking amazing, man, this goes forever. And then you hit year five, and then it's the exact same stuff as year four. It's just the guy's name has changed
and it's Preston again saying, we have a new settlement for you to go and get, you know.
And I mean, that's okay, because I mean, but I was fine with that back when I was playing on a PlayStation 1, you know, and the games were, you know, that much better than the Super Nintendo, or they were at least graphically better. Now, that's the thing, when you go from like a 4 out of 10 to a 6 out of 10 in graphics, that's a big step.
Oh, yeah.
When you go from an 8.7 to an 8.9, that's not a very big step. And that's the thing, is because graphics are so close to 10s now that the steps are so incremental that there's less room for error to have those big leaps that you feel, that you felt when you went from a Sega Genesis to a PlayStation, from a PlayStation to a PlayStation 2. Now, this is coming from a guy who hasn't played a PS4.
Yeah.
But I imagine that if I played, the last games I ever played on a PlayStation were hockey games. And I bet if I played the latest NHL on PlayStation 4, it'd just be formulaic. It's just the same stuff with a small graphics update.
Can I throw something at you right now?
Sure, sure.
Can we revise or revisit our top five?
Sure.
Because we could probably end the episode off with that. We'll go one for one until we reach five each, because that'll give us both time to think. And I was just thinking about what I was going to ask you is, what's a game that you played the shit out of that everybody else might have passed on, or that everybody else would have been like, okay, that's cool, but I don't get that out of it? And for me, that
any World War II game.
I can't remember.
It's true.
It's very true. It doesn't matter if it's third person, first person, tanks, infantry, planes, boats. I'm in.
Yep.
One game that I can't remember what my original top five was, but I've been longing for it recently, and because I can't play it, it makes me realize exactly how good of a game that was for me, was Skate 3.
Yeah.
EA Skate. And even progressively, the whole Skate series, from Skate to Skate 1 to Skate 3, or Skate 2, Skate 3, I remember playing Skate for the first time, and I couldn't believe, because it's not like Tony Hawk where you press like X or whatever to ollie, and then square is all your flip tricks, circle is all your
grabs
and whatever. This was based on both of the joysticks. So you would actually hold down the right joystick in the down position, and you'd see your guy crouch. And then to make him ollie, you'd have to flick it straight up.
Okay.
And he'd like kind of, you're flicking it up. And then if you flicked it just to the left, he'd kick flip. Flick it just to the right, he'd heel flip. There was all this crazy shit you could do. And I remember it took me forever to just kickflip, and I was like, this is a skateboarding game.
Yeah.
And then eventually Skate 3 comes out, and the world is so massive that, like, I hadn't been skateboarding for Christ 8 years or something like that, 9 years, and I'm driving around like my IRL city going like, oh, that'd be a good spot, watching skate videos, listening to like old school skate music and stuff like that.
Millen Collin.
Oh my god, That band is so egregiously good.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Pennywise? No, not Pennywise.
It's not the Pennywise.
I'm going to look it up, and we're going to use that on the outro.
Sure.
I don't even care. The Skate series is going to make my new top five, because even when I was in Thunder Bay, and my whole thing there was I was going to try and go out for the military. And so I was doing this like workout regimen. And the only way I could get cardio done back in the day was I had this exercise bike that I paid way too much for off Kijiji. Some guy just took me to the fucking cleaners.
He bought it for $400 and sold it to you for $8?
I don't know. It might have also been that I didn't have a whole heck of a lot of spending money back then. So maybe $40 then was like this oh my god amount.
Yeah.
But I would just play Skate and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, but just Skate 3. No missions, no like point. I was just skating around.
I always did that in Tony Hawk. It's like the missions got so repetitive It was basically like playing World of Warcraft. It was just be like, go and collect 5 film canisters. And then it's like, go and collect 5 backpacks. And it was just the icon changed, and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much when I burnt out a...
Pennybridge Pioneers. Oh, my God. That whole album's so good.
Oh, gotcha. I figured out the name of the song. Is that No Cigar? The name of the song. Okay. I have to say the XCOM series is still always and forever number one for me. I don't like the way the original XCOM UFO Defense plays on Steam. Okay. It's on there, but it feels like a shitty port because everything happens so quick because the computing power is so better. It's almost like how when they filmed things back in the 1920s, and they played it, it would have played at normal speed, but when we watch it now, everything goes, like everything moves quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how the game feels. Like, instead of your guy, you take your guy and you plant him, basically. Now he just, and then it's like, he would turn and then walk, and then the fog of war would dissipate the further you got, like, within his radius.
Yep.
Now it's just like, I'd like to go over there, and you're there. And it's just like, and then now you see 7 aliens. It's like, oh, well, they didn't just, like, gradually as you made your walk.
Yeah.
So it takes
it's an immersion thing.
It takes the suspense out of it because of the speed.
Yeah.
But nothing has supplanted XCOM for me yet. Even XCOM 2 has been very good. And if you're an XCOM fan and you haven't already gotten the Long War mod for either XCOM or XCOM 2, it's absolutely worth it. I can't remember who I was talking to. It might have been James again. I don't remember now. I talked to everybody through a screen, so the font's all the same, so they're all the same person. But someone was saying the problem with the game is that, oh, it might have been Kennedy, actually, who said that there's a point where, I can't remember, I keep wanting to say Axis or Advent. They're the bad guys.
Yeah.
And if you don't stop their missions or if you fail your mission, the bar towards them basically... world domination fills up, and let's say there's 10 little dots, and then you'll be in, like, you coming back from your first mission when your guys suck and they have all, like, basically the basic weapons and everything set and still, and then Advent would be like, here's a terror mission over in Chelyabinsk, Russia, and then you're like, go to mission, you haven't established communications with Europe yet, and you're like, well, how do I do that? And then it's like, Advent progress moves up 4 bars, and you're like, bitch, I can't even get over there yet.
Yeah.
But when you play the Long War, it slows all that down.
Oh, okay.
So then that way, the fun of the old XCOM is you could go to Cydonia, Mars, and then do the last mission whenever you, once you've unlocked it, you can choose to go. Or you can keep playing and the missions gradually get more and more difficult until you have all the research done and your guys' stats are all maxed out. Then you go to beat the game and start over. Now it makes you hustle through everything, which adds its own layer of difficulty. But the Long War basically does for XCOM what Colonial Charter did for Banished. It just makes so much deeper. It adds new metrics for your people and like new weapon upgrades, and it slows the game down so you're not being rushed through it.
Company of Heroes 2.
That's a game that I want to play more. I just suck at it so bad, and the fact that I suck at it so bad shortens my fuse in terms of my ability to learn strategy.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, I don't have the strategy, which makes me lose, but because I'm losing and losing so slowly but definitively, I lose my patience to adapt to what's happening.
See, Curly says my downfall of all miniature games is analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm always too worried about the flank and I can't focus on the push. Or I'm too worried about getting to the objective marker in X amount of turns and I can't, and then I lose sight of my flanks.
I think I do that where I either become so focused on the micro, I'm going to take over this island, and the next thing you know, they're at my base. Or I'm so focused on stopping them everywhere that I am like, it's like the Schlieffen plan where I've split my armies to, like, they're too split apart and they can't fight a focus, they can't defend a focused attack anywhere because they're everywhere.
I found a mod for Company of Heroes called Battleground Europe. And what it does is it not only gives you access to units that are realistic. For example, if you just so happen to be playing American paratroopers, it'll give you access to like 81 mil mortars, but only one of them. Because you're playing a company of paratroopers, you should only have one of them.
Right.
And it also like expands, for example, if you play regular Company of Heroes, a rifle squad is 5 dudes, and if you play with this mod on, it's 12 dudes.
Hmm.
Add to that the company, or sorry, the community maps. It's got me, man, and like it's to the point now where I'm playing it pretty much Sunday afternoons. That's my winter game.
Oh, definitely.
And like, I can go pretty regularly with myself and one standard AI against 2 hard AIs, and it's super challenging.
I like that.
But I can squash. Like, I'd love to. Curly was saying that my whole thing is analysis paralysis, but for some reason, Company of Heroes tickles that part of my adult onset ADD that I can, for some reason, manage everything.
Mm-hmm.
I can just do it and create my front line and reinforce it and have my mortars in behind.
I could do that on Age of Empires, where it would be real hard for me to lose an Age of Empires game in my heyday when I played it.
Yeah.
I only ever really played against AI. Unless you had that swarm of priests.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm going to go attack the red guy. And then so you get all your army over in, especially if you've made like a wide sprawl, because I was like a fucking champ with the walls and everything like that. And then all of a sudden you just hear, wo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo-lo.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and you just watch fog of war go across your map from the like left to right.
Because
you've pushed everyone to the right because you got to get them on the boats to launch the nate, and you've just nailed. You've got yourself a beachhead that you can drop all your war elephants and archers and everything on. And then all of a sudden, you know, that's on the eastern side. And then all of a sudden, your bases just start disappearing from the left to the right.
Yeah.
Because they've spent all their money on fucking priests, and they have that monotheism or whatever where they
can
take over buildings.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't have enough resources
to
make.
The best. Wa-la-la-la.
Oh, God. Yeah. So I always had to either, because at certain difficulties, that's all the AI would do, would just make priests.
Yeah.
And it's like you'd have to turn off priests just because that's kind of like the button masher fighting guy who just knows the one combo where he does the E Honda hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's it. And then it's just like, well, if we're not going to play anything but the defend against the priest mode, then it's not fun. But I could never do that. I had no instinct for Company of Heroes too.
Okay, yeah.
And that's sure. What I feel is my limiting factor. I have no instinct for it, so I don't know how to strategize because I don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
But
what's next on your list?
I'm going to sound like a bit of a broken record, but I got to say Rocket League because...
You know what? And I'm going to put that on my list as well. That's my number 3.
Now, I remember saying...
Not in order, of course. So we know the rules.
Yeah, we know the rules. I remember sending you an update or something where it said that there would be like a level creation.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, but I don't remember hearing any more of it. And because I remember trying to install it. It was right around the time I got my laptop, and I installed Rocket League on my laptop just for the level creator. Because I remember creating levels in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God, if we could all make levels, and then when we play Monday nights, play each other's levels, like that'd be amazing. I'd love to see what some of the guys could come up with.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that announcing the level creator was just like, we're gonna start alphaing this and it doesn't exist yet, or whether it's like a specific piece of software or you have to have development or like something like that,
the SDK or something.
Yeah, so I don't know anything about it. Now, granted, I didn't look any more into it, but I don't know. For me, that's the perfect game, and that's what we usually always start the night off with. And it's, for me, it's the perfect game. I absolutely love it. It incorporates the level of sports enough that it scratches that itch for me.
Yeah.
But it's enough of a game that all you sport-loving jackass or sport-hating jackasses that play video games with me can still get into the game enough, you know?
You know what it does for me? It's, there's a very specific kind of tension that Rocket League builds. When you're 4-4 and it's going back and forth, and then the one guy hits it the one time and it's just a, it could go in, but it might hit the top. and you just get that, like, it makes your butt pucker.
Yeah.
Like, my whole... When I'm done playing Rocket League, yeah, or, like, I go upstairs to get popcorn or
shoulders
something like
hurt.
That. Yeah, like, I can feel there's, like, tension in my musculature. You know what I mean? I can feel it. That's my number three, so I'm putting it back on you.
Oh, fine. Yeah. I got a game in the Humble Bundle called, like, Flat Heroes. And it's kind of like a more anime-ish Dynasty Warriors.
Okay.
And Dynasty Warriors, because there's been so many, I can't remember what ones specifically that I played. But because, like, the character names, and they're all, like, they're in every version. So if you say it's the one with this guy, it's like, well, they all have that guy. But Dynasty Warriors was one of those games that the specific one I played, because I've bought a couple other at, like, $60, $70 price tags back when I was buying games for my PS3 that just fell flat on its dick. Like, it was not the one that I remember. Because instead of having the 200 guys on screen fighting each other, and you can go through and, you know, you'd finish a round of Dynasty Warriors, it would take you an hour, and you'd rack up, like, 900 kills or something like that. Well, now there was never more than, like, 30 guys on the screen. They would just vanish in the distance, and then when you killed the 30 guys around you, now you could see the guys the next layer in, and it wasn't as good. But that specific Dynasty Warriors, that one I played, I would put that on my list, even though it's, I can't remember what one specifically, but I was playing Flat Heroes, and it's not as good. It's nowhere near as good, but it works on my laptop, and it came with the Humble Bundle, so whatever, right? But it made me long for that experience I had playing that specific Dynasty Warriors. You know what? Like, it almost makes me wish that I had the capability of doing it. But I would love to go and make a game that we loved playing as kids, but make it better. You know? Like,
said everybody ever.
Well, I just don't get it. Like, is it Activision that made Tony Hawk?
Yeah.
Remember when they did, like, the Tony Hawk that you remember as a kid is coming back?
Yeah, I bought it.
It's riddled with microtransactions, and it's fucking dog shit. But it's like, I don't know. Like, why hype up something that there's no way the people that released that game thought that was good? You know?
Well, unless they're drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean?
But the thing is that all the people who loved that game said that it was definitively garbage. Like, not even just more of the same without any improvements.
I know, I bought it.
And it was shit.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Tell me the people that worked, and I don't know any of them, but that made that game or worked on that game, and the marketing department took over and just said, this is what you've been waiting for. And it so definitively wasn't. Yeah. Like, could you imagine? I would love to see a Dynasty Wars. My wife and I watched the Lord of the Rings the other day, and when they were having that big battle at the castle, I remember having a Lord of the Rings game that was kind of like Star Wars Battlefront, that idea, but it was Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
And it's just like, could you imagine today's standards, today's computing standards, graphic standards, having a legit... Because the amazing thing about that battle is the 1,000-deep army.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? I don't even know how you'd program that. But we have the capabilities to do it, to program a battle like that, like almost like this last stand tower defense-y, you have 900 lives on this side, they have 900 lives on that side, go until someone either defends the castle or captures the castle. Would that not be amazing?
Yeah.
They've tried to make that, but they never do.
Yeah.
Is it because it's...
Well, it's identical to this theory I have about first-person shooters, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when Brink came out, and I thought Brink was going to change first-person shooters.
I've only heard of it contextually, and Curly always... using it as like...
It's fucking terrible.
Exclamation point on the end of a sentence.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. But it had amazing movement. Amazing movement. If you had the gunplay from Arma, the movement from Brink, the cover system from Gears, and you like just start... why can't somebody just take all the good shit that everybody talks about and chuck it all into one game?
Well, that's
in the Fallout universe.
that's the thing when it comes to, I don't know, it's just like, it goes back to what I was saying about like the problems I was having with like customer service and stuff is that if you watched a commercial for any of these companies, they'd all tell you that they're the best. They are number one. We have the best X, Y, Z. We give the best service. We have the best products. Until you get into the store and they just don't do any of that.
Yeah.
And that's where video, and I think maybe that's where I started getting so jaded on stuff is because every cutscene, like trailer for a game, like, of course, if you're trying to sell a game, you only extol the virtues of the game. You don't say, we're not quite done this yet. And the combat isn't nearly as good as we had hoped for.
Like, yeah.
Of course you don't do that. You only talk about the good stuff.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, if it isn't done, then don't release it. And then that's the problem is that the onus used to be on the developer to make the game saleable so they can get money for it. Nowadays, what they do is they pre-sell the game. If they hit their sales target before they're done, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah.
So that's why you end up with all these games that never get finished, never go anywhere, or just straight up get abandoned.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, we have like a $6 million in sales ceiling on this game. We've already made $5 million and we haven't even spent half our budget. We're done.
Yeah.
Because everyone already owns it. I don't know, man. I would really like to see a real... But that's what you get in the modding community, man. Like that Banished mod or like the Skyrim mod and stuff like that. It's like we took this game that they made millions of dollars on and made it better for free.
Yeah.
And it's like...
But that's also why I like PC gaming. Like,
but hire those guys.
Yeah. Mm. I get it, but you'd kill the community. Like that's... I'd rather have... There's almost like a weird sense of pride in being able to run mods. You know what I mean? And like me telling you what mods I'm running.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. And they're doing that for passion and for free.
Yeah.
You would think... You would hope that the people who are getting rewarded with the money had any of that passion or any of that pride.
Maybe they did, but maybe it's like, you know, if you really like taking pictures and then you call yourself a photographer and then you shoot a wedding and now I don't take any pictures anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I don't know, man. Like, that's the problem is that I know someone out there is capable of making the Tony Hawk Pro Skater we all want, of making the Dynasty Warriors.
I have a theory on this.
Theory me.
Okay. My next game is Fallout 3. Of course it is.
That's my... Yeah, I'm okay on there too.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's less Fallout 3 and more Fallout Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if I'm going to play another game like Fallout 3.
You won't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Fallout 4 comes out and it was fucking dog shit.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for these mods to come out. They'll probably be pretty good, okay? But I hesitate to imagine a game that I could play. It's almost like why I'm nervous to play the next South Park.
Mm-hmm.
You're nervous about the next Dave Chappelle special.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want Fallout 3, but I ain't going to get Fallout 3.
It's kind of like I have two restaurant analogies to give you.
Okay.
Fallout 4, the problem with that is, let's say a new restaurant opens up in town, and you go there and you get food poisoning on a Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going back to that restaurant?
Probably not.
Even if it's under new ownership and they've modded the menu?
No.
And now they've upgraded their Philly cheesesteak sandwich? So once it comes out and it's terrible and it's bad, it spoils the whole thing in your memory, in your mind, that you'll never be able to fully trust it or appreciate it.
Yeah.
As if you only get one shot at making a first impression, like they say. The other thing is, too... if you go to a restaurant and the service is terrible and there's flies everywhere and like there's no curtains and the sun's beating down on you and they're playing this horrible K-pop music that just doesn't make any sense and like the spring on your chair isn't very good, you could have the very best Philly cheesesteak sandwich you've ever had in your life, but it's just not going to be, it's not a good experience for you. So the thing with Fallout 3 is it's not necessarily the sandwich of Fallout 3, but it was at the right time of your life and the right stage of video games where it was head and shoulders above everything else you've played. I would put DayZ, not DayZ, 7 Days to Die on my list because it's the number one game that does that for me. But had I not picked up 7 Days to Die and I picked up one of its clones at the exact same time,
yep.
I could probably say the exact same thing about it, having never played 7 Days to Die, because...
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's the ambiance of everything. I mean, how old were we when Fallout 3 came out?
Ooh, I would have been 23-ish.
Okay, so at Ish, that stage anyway. Of our lives...
22-ish, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. Life was so much different for 23-year-old Bill no than shit, 29-year-old
man.
Bill.
Oh,
so
man.
So your experience playing video games in general is different than it is now. You looked at it through a different lens.
Yeah.
Plus, you didn't have Fallout 3 in your memory banks when you were playing Fallout 3.
Yeah.
But you did when you were playing Fallout 4. So it's not necessarily that the sandwich wasn't as good as yeah. all the other things that go into making your enjoyment of that sandwich
it's like,
as enjoyable.
I hear what you're saying, too, because I'd like to know what was on my last list, because my last game is Counter-Strike Go. And I think that was on my list before,
mm-hmm.
but now I'll bet you it's on there for a different reason. I get a different sort of satisfaction out of Counter-Strike Go than I get from any other first-person shooter. And here's a point of contention for you. Here's the point where you could argue. Counter-Strike Go requires more skill than any other FPS on the market.
I would say, I know exactly how I would agree and disagree with you.
Yeah.
I would agree that, no, it doesn't take a lot of skill. You can just go spray and pray and be successful in that game. That is absolutely true, unless you're playing against skilled people.
Yeah.
And then you're the first to die.
Yeah. It's. I started, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, playing on like the competitive servers and that. And I got to Silver 3. Woo, woo, but I'm almost Nova. That's like my goal. I'm trying to get to Nova because I view Nova. Nova's like your first competitive rank. If you're under Nova, you are...
just playing.
Yeah, you're just playing. And you go silver all the way up to Nova 1.
Mm-hmm.
Nova 1, to me, is like getting your first stripe on your white belt.
Sure.
I got told this week that I'm going to get the opportunity to test for it in like 2 months or something like that, right? And I'm like, to me, the guy that has one stripe is the guy that's shown up enough to learn everything that he needs to learn to get to the first stripe. And... has like I guess the ferocity to keep at it, because for every guy that's Nova 1, as far as I'm concerned, he represents 100 guys that are Silver 2, Silver 3,
yeah.
who just went fuck this, it's too hard,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I don't know, and like, there's a satisfaction in like when you're dominating in Counter-Strike, it feels like you're more skilled than other people.
Yeah, like, see, I'm a weird Counter-Strike player.
Like flicks with the op, and especially if you, can grab somebody.
Fuck the op. You know what?
At the bottom of Dust 2, and you're shooting through CT, and you grab somebody on the way past, and it's just on your way over. Reload that shit. Where's double doors, bro?
You know what the problem is with that? Is if...
Woo!
Because everyone has that opening move.
Yeah.
And they run to the thing and they just pop two shots off as quick as they can. And if you do that 100 times, you'll get someone once.
You know what else about Counter-Strike Go? Like it or not, I love the skins. I love the subculture of the skins.
I do. Yeah, I like that too. Getting a drop feels so yeah. good. A little dopamine release.
Okay, do you remember back in the day, like CS 1.6, old Ugh. Day of Defeat before Source?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
would press T and T spray. Would spray.
Yeah.
Now, they're selling sprays on Counter-Strike Go.
Of course they are.
I hate it.
But I love it.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. I got...
And that's one of the few games for me that would get away with that shit.
And I got one that's... I think it's an up arrow with headshot. And it feels good because not everybody has a spray, right?
Yeah.
And so I spray that shit somewhere, and you always hear somebody, who put that spray down? Whose headshot spray is that? And I'm like, mine, bitch. What's next? You know, but it... At the same time, I hate it because that used to be a part of PC gaming for yeah. me, was that I could get my clan tag and make it a transparent yeah. PNG, throw it up there, and then I could spray in your spawn the DB tag, bro.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you can't do any. You can do that on Day of Defeat still. You just can't do it on
Counter-Strike. That's one of those things where I get why they do it. Because
that's my last one anyway.
If they can make a market for it, why the hell wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
I get that. But then at the same time, we as like, quote unquote, I hate like when people just arbitrarily create the community, but like as video gamers, we expect that stuff to stay that way. But then at the same time, there's still members of it who will spend $1 million on skins and on sprays and stuff like that. So it's like, if the developers can put a paywall up there and just make money off of it, why in the fuck wouldn't they, you know?
And you know what? I'll take that all day over stat bonuses.
Absolutely.
You know what? You want to pay $900 for a flippy-do little knife that comes out? Have at her.
Have at it.
As long as you don't stab me quicker.
That's exactly it, because that's... I don't know. I don't play too many games that allow that whole pay-to-win idea, but it's
kind of faded now, eh?
But it was real. Like a lot of those,
War Thunder, like that kind of game. That game did not have that in it, but that kind of World of Tanks.
You know what? From what I remember, and it's been so long since I played War Thunder. If you paid for premium,
yeah,
it didn't necessarily. It wasn't like you had access to a plane. That was because we pretty much only played planes. That was so far and above everybody else's plane. Like you just spend the $5 and now you can't lose. But it basically like magnified your earnings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you still had to. It's kind of like the argument everybody makes for steroids in baseball. Well, you still have to hit the ball with the bat. You know?
Yeah.
Where it's like you still had to go and earn those points. You just earned them a little bit quicker. Whereas, which for me was fine because if I was only playing 2 days a week. I could hang with those people who played all day every day. And then once they got above a certain ranking, then they'd be out of my league anymore anyways.
Yeah.
So, see, that I have no problem with because then the pay-to-play people and pay-to-win people just end up playing against themselves.
Yeah.
So, it's funny because my last one, my number five, I have to say, but I'm going to move it out even though it honestly belongs there. Is like the Final Fantasy series just belongs there. I was going to ask you a question. What are some games that you know are gray in your library that are uninstalled right now that now that they just jumped into your brain, you want to install and play again? And for me, it's the Final Fantasy games I have on Steam.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I have them. I bought them because they went on sale and I knew I wanted to play them. But you have to be in the mood.
Oh, for sure.
To play Final Fantasy because you want to appreciate the story. So you don't want to have Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in the background, your baby sleeping and your wife sleeping.
No.
And then be like, oh, so what's this? The kingdom what? And then, oh, sorry, I got to pause it and walk away and this and that and the other. As a tip of the cap to this game, I will give it to RimWorld.
Wow, okay, yeah.
I haven't even, so I've made...
You've been playing the shit out of that game.
It is so good because you can play it so many different ways. So basically, okay, so if you haven't played RimWorld, you should because it's really good. And if you've looked at RimWorld and that reminds you of the type of game that you're interested in, absolutely pick it up. Just do it. Because if that's the type of game you're into, you'll love it. So the way I've been playing it recently has been just basically try to completely obliterate all the resources in that level. Like, because you start in, like, a little cell on the map, and that's your world, essentially. And then you can create a caravan and move your people and your stuff to a new cell, and boom, now you're in another, like, that map screen that you're on. And they can be very large maps, but there's so many cells. Like, basically, you could play that game forever and not go everywhere on the map that randomly generates. But I've got all my guys' skills up. I've researched the whole tech tree. Pardon me. And I want to create a caravan and successfully move to another zone.
Mm.
But I'm just starting to play with creating a caravan. And here's what's happening for me. Have you ever tried to create a caravan?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's happening is all my people are loading up all my shit onto the muffalos and everything like that. And then they start starving and passing out because I have so much stuff.
Yeah.
So I need to find a way to streamline that better, but I'm just kind of dicking around. So RimWorld's basically, sorry, I'm all over the place. You've landed on this planet. You can choose a scenario, whether you're by yourself and you start with upgraded gear, or whether there's five of you and you start with shit, and you pick up resources, you make tools and stuff, and you can get attacked, or you can play just vanilla, where they don't attack you. And you have to manage your people's moods. You have to manage your people's health. And there's nothing worse than, like, I'm going to send these people to hunt the whatever. And all of a sudden, a Timberwolf shows up.
Yeah.
And it's like, Timberwolf revenge. And you're like, oh, what's Steve doing over there? Let's get him to hunt that Timberwolf. And then he kills the Timberwolf, but then he has his arm sawed off. And then you have to fucking load the game. Oh, man. It's so good. So basically, the idea is that you need to build a ship and escape the planet. And they tell you throughout the game where on the Earth or where on the world the, like, the escape place is, and you have to get there. And I'm assuming, because I haven't read ahead or looked anything up, you have to build your ship there and then escape. So I'm going to beat the game first before I add any mods or anything like that. But remember when we talked about Fallout 3, how you'd have that one guy who was just like a heavy, and one guy who was just like a ninja, and one guy was melee only? So what I've been playing is just what I would call the very straightforward way of playing. I just kind of do what
survival.
I need to do.
Yep.
But what I'm going to start doing is when you have like a caravan that comes, you can choose to attack those people if you want. I'm going to start like arresting people and growing my clan, because right now I have 12 people under my command.
If you arrest them, they become a part of your colony?
If you arrest them, they become prisoners, and you can chat and recruit them. But sometimes you can go through like 2 years, and it's like, you know how long a year is.
Yeah.
You can go through a year or two, and you just can't convert them to.
Can you force them to work?
No.
Oh.
You either keep them locked up, chat and recruit them, execute them, or release them.
Wow.
So if you capture somebody, like if pirates attack you, and then you heal their person up, and then you release them, you'll improve your relations with them. But so what I'm going to start doing is kind of like that idea where you had different characters with different play styles.
Yeah.
I'm going to make different games with different play styles once I beat it vanilla first. But it's so good. If you're a Banished fan or you're an Age of Empires fan.
All day.
RimWorld is absolute. What did Curly say? It's like Dwarf Fortress?
Yeah, it's exactly like Dwarf Fortress.
I've never played Dwarf Fortress, so but I mean, I take your guys' word for it, but... It's sucked me right in, so it definitely deserves a place on my top five, even if it has to boot poor Final Fantasy out of there.
It's heavy.
I could talk about RimWorld all day. It's so fun.
Well, let's not, because I want to go home and eat two eggs and go to bed.
Oh, actually, I have one more question. This is very important.
Yeah?
What game off my wish list are you going to buy me when you get home tonight?
I am going to buy you... If Company of Heroes 2 is... Do you own that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I was going to say. Because if that makes one of you play with me...
here's what you will do. Come over to my house and teach me how to play Company of Heroes, and then I'll play with you.
Remember this song?
Oh, God, it's timeless.
I've listened to this album... Oh. Oh, that's High School Bill right there. That's like... actually skateboarding around town thinking I'm a little punk, like, just
you know what I realize my favorite movies are?
What?
Not specifically American Pie, but like those college movies from when we were like,
Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny.
Now I can't remember any of the titles, but you'll see those like teen actors like Josh Hartnett, some of those, or Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
And they're all those different college movies where there's like the nerd kid and there's the jock and then like the goth girl. And like, you watch The Faculty, that's a little different because that's more like a horror movie. But like music from that era and then like those types of movies, I fucking love them, man. So when I listen to this, it makes me feel so good.
Have you listened to this album?
Not the whole album, no.
The entire album is worth it. It's one of like... the few pop punky kind of bands that are worth it. It's called Pennybridge Pioneers by Melancholin. Melancholin? Melancholin?
I think it's Melancholin. I haven't seen it written in years, though.
Millencolin. Pennybridge Pioneers. The whole fucking album is on YouTube, and it's totally, totally worth it.
I just love this style. Dude, I watched a couple of the roasts. Honestly, sign up, this is not a sponsored thing. I wish it was, because I'm so glad I found it. Crave TV, honestly, has so much good shit on it. It has all the Comedy Central roasts. You can't even find those, like, or at least I couldn't when I was looking for. Find them uninterrupted on YouTube, all of them. You can't find them. They're all on there. And they played this style of music in between the presenters. And I just was like, that's MXPX. Oh my God, I want to listen to MXPX again.
MXPX. Dude. All right. My name is Tango November. Find us online. You know where to find us. I got to go home because I got to work in the morning and it's 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Who are you?
I'm your dad. Go to bed.